All right, we're going to continue our series today of Where Do I Fit In? Where do I fit in? You know, it's a series that we know that God has called us to do in the sense because He wants us all to feel a part of the body of Christ. Have you ever considered yourself a bodybuilder? You know, I know I don't, but there's some that do. Now, bodybuilders, they're very disciplined people in their approach to how they get beefed up. They take a lot of protein drinks and things like this, and they eat healthy food because what they want to do, their goal is to get each muscle to get to work to its optimum condition that it's supposed to. Now, I found out it takes more than big arms just to lift up something heavy. It also takes a strong back. You know, each part has something important to play in our body, and we don't really know how important that part is until it's injured. You know, when I had my appendix out, I was amazed at how important my stomach muscles were. Like a typical guy, I waited too long before I had the surgery. I started to have pain on Monday, and I never went and dealt with it till Friday, so my appendix had ruptured, so they had to, you know, make an incision there. And as they did that, it, you know, cut through my muscles. And then in the recuperation process, shall we say, every time I went to sit down, see, I thought my legs did all the work, but they didn't. My stomach also was part of what needed to be done. So it showed me really that how important all the different parts of our body are and how important all the parts in the body of Christ can be. Now, God knew what He was doing when He made every part of our body, and also He knew what He was doing when He placed us in the body of Christ and gave us each gifts. Now, what we're going to look at today is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. We're kind of diverting from Romans 12 this week, and we'll go back next week. And it says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried out by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects, even unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by whatever joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, cause the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You in Jesus' name. We thank You, Lord, for this time together. We thank You, Lord, so much for the power of Your Spirit to be working here in our midst. We thank You, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's going to break every yoke of bondage upon our lives. We ask You to stir the gift inside of us, Lord, and to help us to be able to grow in You. In Jesus' name, amen. The first point we're going to look at today is the point of grow up. Grow up. You know, we all need to grow up in Christ. We need to measure up to what God has called us to do. And that's going to take a level of maturity. It's kind of like when we're growing up, and that as maybe you have one of these at your house, is that on a doorpost you might see some marks that have been put there over the years. And each year when a kid goes to school, they go up and they measure up. And they're so excited to be able to see the growth that takes place year by year. And see, that's what happens in our life when we come to Christ, is that we need to see progress. We need to see progress. We need to be growing in Christ and growing in the gift that He's given us so that we can be a better utensil or a better tool, shall we say, for God to be able to use in the body of Christ. And to do that, the reason why we grow up, because it takes a certain level of maturity. You know, God doesn't want us to be like a child that's getting just tossed around here and there like a baby beginning to walk. But God wants us to be able to, you know, stand on our own 2 feet. And this is important because when you're trying to fit into the body of Christ, there's other members in that body also. So it's going to take a certain level of maturity to be able to work with other people, because you're going to be working maybe on the same projects or doing the same things. And, you know, how many know that sometimes people do things different than we do? How many's maybe married to somebody that does it different than we do? And so to be able to get along and to be able to accomplish things, you know, you learn to have to be able to walk in that maturity and not be offended very easily. But with saying that also, there's the concept that talks here in this passage of being able to speak the truth in love. Now, this word in the Greek means to have a corresponding action that lines up with the Word of God. You know, that means we just can't talk the talk, but we got to walk the walk. meaning we've got to be able to walk the talk. You know, a lot of times we say things, but we don't follow through with it. You know, a lot of times we, you know, maybe tell our kids something to do, but then in the back of our mind we know that, hey, I don't do that either. So it takes a certain level of maturity to be able to walk that talk and to be able to accomplish these things. Because personal growth needs to be visible and not just in our mind. You know, sometimes we're a legend in our own mind, aren't we? Oh, sometimes when we get to thinking about ourselves, man, I'm really good. You know, I'm doing a great job. You know, people just ought to admire me for what I do. You know, we get to be a legend. But then if you videoed yourself and watched what you do, well, I'm not really doing that, am I? I just thought I did it. You know, that happens in marriage a lot, doesn't it? You know, with me, I thought I did something, but I guess I didn't. And then I get in trouble. That's just the way it is. So now I've kind of learned to really recalculate everything and do it. So as we do this, you're going to find out that you're going to grow in your gift. And the way that you grow in your gift is you have to get involved to be able to use it. And finding out what that is, you're going to have to participate and go along with God and start to learn. And when you start to do something, say, God, teach me, show me. Show me what I need to know. Show me the things that I need to really experience and to be able to grow in this gift, to be able to love people as they need to be loved, and to be able to minister to people and to build up the body of Christ and to make it strong. So that, you know, you can be glorified to it. And that's by doing the action steps, because to be honest, teaching will only take you so far. You can attend as many seminars as you want about something. I found that out. You can go to all kinds of leadership seminars and learn how to be a leader. But until you actually step out and lead something, it doesn't really function in your life, does it? And it's like that with anything. We have to step out. We have to go out and we got to do it. And as we do that, then we start to learn, because there's a process of learning that goes with actions that we do. Now, as well as doing the part of, staying in growing up, the next part we need to do is to get connected. Get connected. And how important it is to be connected. Now, a leaf on a tree, it will die if it disconnects from the tree. And that's pretty simple, isn't it? It happens in the fall. But if you have a leaf, now what amazes me, we have some plants at home that sometimes if you don't tend to them, they'll wilt. You know, I don't understand, you know, all of a sudden they're just like this. But then you give them a little bit of water and boy, within a few hours they just come back to life. So there's another message in that, and just how important it is to continually feed yourself. But far as when, if you totally disconnect from a situation, if you pluck that leaf off the tree, it'll stay green for a while, but in time, it's going to wither and die. And that's what it's like for many of us in the body of Christ. If we disconnect ourselves from the body, and then we start to, you know, we can function to some degree, but then we end up withering and dying. You know, what we do with others is always better than what we do alone. And you're going to find that out in life. You know, when you have an accomplishment in your life, it's more rewarding to be able to have somebody that you can share it with. You know, I remember a time in my life that was one of the most, what I consider the most proud moments of my life. But it turned into, I was kind of bummed out too. You know, I graduated from Bible school, I think back in 1985. And to me, when I got saved and asked Jesus Christ into my heart, and then I felt the call of God on my life to receive more education because I wanted to prepare myself for ministry, you know, that was to me one of my most proud moments. You know, but what happened was that graduation is in the spring, and that's the time that farmers are in the field. And nobody in my family could make it to my graduation. Now, they had come to my high school graduation. They had come to my trade school graduation, you know, and that was good. And I was really, you know, when you graduate high school, you're proud of that. Ooh, I made it, you know. And then when I graduated from trade school, you know, that was all good. Yeah, they were there for that. But I considered this the greatest moment in my life at that time. And I had nobody to share it with. Now, I was engaged. I shared it with my future wife and her family. But it wasn't the same because the people that had been in my life, my whole life, my parents and my, you know, my family, they couldn't make it. And see, that's what it's like when we're out there alone, people, and we're doing things, but we don't have anybody to share it with. And really, that's what the family of church is about. And the life of church is when we connect with each other and we do things with each other, because we're actually doing family business. Now, I was raised in a family business. You know, we farmed 7 days a week doing something. Animals had to be tended to, things like this. So I know what it's like to work with somebody for a common cause. And see, it's like that in the body of Christ. You know, when we choose to hook up with each other, because our family business here is kingdom business. We're children of the King. We're actually enlarging the kingdom of God, and we're trying to make it stronger. We're trying to make it better. We're trying to do things for God that has eternal rewards. You know, whatever we have done in this earth, in the secular realm, is all fine and dandy. But what's important is what we do that's going to last for eternity. And that's when we start to reach out to a lost and dying world. Or the lost and dying world looks at us and they say, yes, they have the answer. And see, that comes by participation of each of us choosing to buy into the vision and to be able to walk out that vision by reaching that lost and dying world. And that's why it's so important to get connected. We live in such a disconnected society. Even though we have all these things at our disposal, talking about, you know, the idea of, you know, the internet and, you know, Facebook and all these social platforms where, you know, when I was a kid, like I've said before, it was a big deal when you called home because long distance costs money. You know, I may not talk to my parents, but, you know, once a week or if that sometimes. Now people just connect with each other just in a second. Oh, I might call somebody. I'm just going to do that. So there's so way of staying connected, but yet we're not really connected unless you have that relationship that we can do things with other people. So we looked at the idea of growing up and getting connected. Now the last one I want to look at today is building the body. Now we're not going to look at this passage because it's kind of lengthy, but I encourage you to look this up. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verses 14 to verse 27. And that has a lot of picturesque things talking about how important it is to be, you know, in a body and what the body's all about. And it tells about each part, you know, because it talks about the foot and the hand and the eye. And, you know, if the foot says it's not a part of the body, I mean, and then also it's got the hand and what the hand does and the eye. I don't know. Can you really think of anything in your immediate body that you'd like to get rid of? I mean, would you like to get rid of your hands? Probably not. How about your foot? No. You need your eyes, right? You know, all these things are needed. But see, God wants us to see that as sure as in our natural body that you and I walk and talk and live in, that same picture is in the body of Christ when you and I come together. Christ is the head. He's the one who calls the shots. But as far as that, we got all these other parts that need to work together. I'm doing this right now, but I don't know, I'm not making myself do it. I mean, it just happens, doesn't it? And see, that's what happens when you and I get connected in a body and we start to flow and we start to work together, then things just start to really work out and God is glorified. Now, we are interdependent of each other when we want to accept it or not. We all need somebody. We're all connected to somebody. Now some people say, well, I just need some time alone. How many have been there? We all have, right? You know, and sometimes that's good. But then after a few days, have you ever done this where all of a sudden maybe your family left and you couldn't go? And they're gone for a week or so? You know, before, yeah, it's all good, man. Do what I want when I want just because I want to. But then after two or three days, you know, you got to miss something. You kind of miss them in your life. They're not a part of what you're doing. You kind of wonder what's happening in their day. Because we're more interconnected than we really want to accept on how we need other people in our life and how we need somebody. And that's hard. That comes into a whole different ball of yarn trying to unravel that, especially if you've been hurt in relationships and, you know, all these things start to come into play. But primarily, We all need somebody in our lives so that we can build this life together. You know, as we're interdependent on each other, it's kind of like that leaf I mentioned a minute ago. Now, if you think about that leaf, for the most part, it turns into the pretty part of the tree. You know, it's green when it's alive, and then in the fall when it starts to go, it turns all these colors, and you probably think of the leaves, you know. But that leaf, if the branch, the trunk, doesn't do its part, it dies. Let's say the trunk decides not to show up to work for a week. Well, that leaf's going to die whether it wants to die or not. Why? It can't get the nutrients from the roots. It goes from the roots to the trunk to the branches to the leaves. So if the branch decides not to show up, you know, have you ever noticed when a branch maybe gets hit by something and it gets bent over and broke? Well, you got this big green tree, then all of a sudden, the reason why you know something's wrong, you don't really pick out that broken branch until you see the leaves that are brown. They're not getting food no more. And see, that's what happens when you and I lose our connection, primarily with God, but also with church and each other. Because we need that life reciprocating with each other. There might be a day that you're down. There might be a day that you need somebody in your life. And I don't know about you, but there's times in my life when I pray and I just don't feel God. But I know I have a friend I can call on. And that friend comes into my life and they pick me up and help me when I'm down. And see, that's what this interconnection's all about, where we can really start to grow from each other and start to function in the way that we want to do. Now, let's think about if the body isn't working right, because it's talking about Ephesians 4:16. It talks about the proper working of each part. Now, that proper, the word proper is talking about a measure of capacity in the Greek. So what it's meaning is different people and gifts have different capacities. You know, whatever your role may be in the body of Christ and whatever that is, and that passage in 1 Corinthians 12 that I alluded to there, it talks about even that how some of the parts that seem weaker are even more important. You know, you may not think a lot about certain things, you know, like I didn't think about my stomach muscle. You don't really think about it until you really need it. And what's the most important gift? The one that's needed at that time. That's the most important gift. That's what you and I need to understand. And when God taps our shoulder and, you know, tells us this is where He wants us to flow. And because different people have and gifts are different and they operate in different capacities. Now, what I've found in my life, and you can take it with a grain of salt, is that faithfulness to God, to church, and to the gift that's inside of you will help you to operate at full capacity. Now, if you had a garden hose here and you stepped on it, it limits the pressure going out the other end, doesn't it? You know, it could be going real hard, and then all of a sudden it gets a kink in it. And it just doesn't have the right flow. And see, that's what happens to us when we're unfaithful to God and unfaithful to the things that He wants us to do. Yeah, there might be one time in our life or a few times we might be operating at full capacity and have a lot of pressure and a lot of flow in our life, and we're touching people's lives and we're changing people's lives and we're doing great things for God and everybody's chanting your name. Go, no, not that bad. But, you know, and then all of a sudden you get a kink in your hose. You get bent out of shape, shall we say. Oh, that was a good segue, wasn't it? You get bent out of shape, so then you pull back, and then your flow's not as good. You're not flowing at the full capacity that you could and what you used to do. Now, what I found out when people do that is that instead of fixing the kink, they'll think about what all they used to do and how that's good enough instead of what they should be doing now. Because God wants us to go from glory to glory. He doesn't want us to do something good and then pull back and, hey, I'm done, I'm retired. I can't think of ever retiring from the body of Christ. I couldn't imagine what that's like. To retire from your purpose, how hard would that be? To give up on everything that God has put inside of you and how important that part is. Now, if you were going to cook something today, you would first have to use your feet to walk over to the refrigerator to get that far, right? So you need, now you can crawl just to, you know, But I mean, it'd be hard to get up in there, wouldn't it, and get what you want, especially if it's on the top shelf. So you need your foot to hold you up to get to the refrigerator. Well, once you get to the refrigerator, you got to use your eyes and your hands because you got to open the door. You got to look in there and try to find something good. And then after that, after you do it, you're definitely using your hand. You're taking it over to the stove and you're starting to cook. And then you got to do all that. So each part of your body is important. And I want us to see how each part of our body in the church is very important. On any Sunday morning, I'll be honest, I was cramped today. That's why I even probably forgot to turn my microphone on there a minute ago. I didn't have any sound people. So I'm up there, and Jason come up to rescue me there at the end. But I'm up there hitting all the buttons, you know, doing this, doing that, instead of being able to focus on what I should be focusing on is bringing this message to you. You know what I mean? That's really what my role is here. Instead of having to do all this other plate spinning, but things happen. Not whining, I'm just saying the way it is. So, but anytime there's a church service going on, there's several things, parts of the body that when guests come and they look at us, now I want you to be honest, I know we're not supposed to judge, but have you ever judged somebody's body? Be honest, not just your own. You know, we've judged somebody's body. And sometimes we've judged that body in a harsh way by saying they're either, you know, physically bigger than they should be or physically skinnier than they should be or whatever the case may be. We've all judged bodies before. And when people come through these doors, they're judging our body. And if our body isn't functioning the way it could, then we're not putting our best foot forward, shall we say. Because what we have, our first line of offense is, or defense, however you want to look at it, is the people at the door. When somebody walks in that door, you got somebody there greeting them and shaking their hand. So they got to know how to work the crowd. They got to, you know, be able to be friendly. You know, how would you like it if you had an usher at the door that just opened the door, never looked you in the eye, and you're welcome? Okay. Well, this place is real friendly, isn't it? You know, now we don't have ushers like that. We have good ushers, but I'm just saying. They're the first people you meet. Well, you know, you got the greeters and you got the ushers, and you know, and they're working there. And because our ushers do double duty, they greet and usher. You know, but we could, you know, if we get enough smiley face people, we'd like to use greeters too. Praise God. Maybe you got a good smile. We'd like to use you, and you're friendly. But, you know, after you do that, then the ushers, you know, the ushers serve the people and they maybe tell them where things are at. You know, they maybe don't know where the nursery's at or where the restrooms are or, you know, where to maybe find a seat or things about the church when they come in. And that's what the ushers are about. Well, then when we get here, also we need another group of people, a part of the body, and that's the teachers. We need teachers here that help us to be able to train children because some parents, I don't get it, but they want their kids to be taught about Jesus when they go to church. Can you believe that? Yes. That's part of our role. So we need teachers. We need teachers to help out and to love on kids and to be able to train them so that, you know, those kids have a chance. And, you know, I know that, you know, that's what made a big impact on my life as a kid was, you know, going to Sunday school a little bit. And when I got older, there was enough of that hook in my life that Christ used that to draw me back to Him. So I praise God for teachers. You know, and like I already brought up how he's kind of physically deficient today, we need sound and video people. People to run the buttons, people to run the sound. You know, you can really tell when they're missing because things don't operate in the way they should. Either it's too loud, it's not hit on time. Or things like this, or the video, because we're sending a video stream over to the nursery so the nursery workers can be able to see it, and then also out into the foyer in case a parent has to go out with a child so they can still be a part of the service to stay connected. So all these things, and you know, and I did say nursery. We need nursery people to help with babies and love on babies and to be able to make sure they're ministered to, and then the parents, you know, they can enjoy the service. You know, all that's part of it. And then also hospitality people, you know, people that, you know, maybe make the coffee or do things like this. And, you know, so there's this, and all those ministries, all those parts of the body, that's just on a Sunday morning. That's just a Sunday morning. And you know, I didn't even go into the worship people and things like that. So all these ministries are required in the body. And there and I believe this is how it works, that God brought people to this church to be a part of this body. And then they can start to flow and make this body strong. Gain, as we start to explore these gifts, I want to go back on that a little bit, can bring a little bit of pain. Have you ever pulled a muscle? I think we all have, haven't we? You know, we're starting our exercise program at the church again. There's opportunity, amen? Opportunity to get injured. Now, if you pull a muscle, you don't cut your leg off, do you? Oh, my calf muscle, pulled a calf. Cut my losses right now. No. You want to help that. You want that leg to get back to where it was so it can start to work again. And really, that's what we need to do. We need restoration. And maybe that's maybe where some people are at right now. Maybe they were in a church and maybe they were helping out a little bit from time to time and somebody hurt their feelings, and that happens. So that's where restoration comes in. That's where we need to know that we need to be healed. Because you want that, you don't want to walk through life. I mean, especially if it's just a pulled muscle. I mean, something that could be restored by the right proper means, or let's say it's even went to the place of a broken leg. Surely you would go and get a cast and let the thing get set properly, right? So you can use it again. But instead, they walk around all through life with that pulled muscle or that broken leg, not wanting to be healed, not wanting to be restored back to the rightful place in the body of Christ where they can function. Last part I want to mention is that this passage talked about a labor of love. We grow ourselves up in love. You know, we need to understand what it means to really love other people. Now, I tell you, that's hard to learn. I don't know, maybe just because of me as a guy, and maybe some of the things I went through in life, I don't know. But understanding the love factor of what it means to really love somebody else in a godly way, and how that all entails, because you know, as we approach this next, as we start in the next few weeks of learning a little bit about them seven gifts in Romans 12, which is the gifts of the Father, or the creation gifts, in a sense where God has put inside you some sort of maybe motive, your dominant motive. Now, you can flow in all of them to some degree, but you're going to have a dominant motive, and that's going to kind of help you to figure where you fit in. And as you do that, you know, you're going to experience some great things. And so that challenge is simple as we do this, continue with this series, is we need to desire to grow in Christ. We need to get connected to the local body, and we need to build ourselves up in the spirit of love. And the reason why I say the local body, you know, we got some TV Christians in America. You know what I mean? They just watch Jesus on TV. And that, you know, that pacifies them, really what it is. But really it's a pacifier, because they're not really getting connected. They're not really letting people into their life to be able to grow and to be able to grow with each other and to do things together. So that's why we need a local body. And that's what the local church is all about. And I encourage you to allow God to do His great work in you and to find out where you fit so that you can do great things for His name. Let's pray.